Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
It's Smokey Robinson, a very appropriate song for today. It's called My Soul Responding to in recognition of Native American. Smokey Robinson, very appropriate tune. Next week I'm going to see if my producer will play a little, Isaac Hayes, Walk On By. I've been trying to get her to play that. I think that's a really good tune. Anyway, hello and welcome back to another edition of the Just a Freedom Show. I'm your darling and dashing host, Push Nevada, coming to you live from Tempe, Arizona. Great weather, beautiful people, very well today. We have a very smooth show today, but before I introduce our guest of sorts, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope that everyone is safe and well and enjoying this holiday with friends and family and pets and grandparents and kids and all that good stuff. I'll be leaving for Michigan tomorrow myself for a little holiday festivities with friends and family as well, and I can't wait. That out of the way, today's show will feature conversational highlights from a previous show. A former guest, Minister Philip Ostergaard, and he's going to discuss Abraham Lincoln and his political life as well as his new book, The Inspired Wisdom of Abraham Lincoln, How Faith Shaped an American President and Changed the Course of the Nation. Minister Ostergaard is a Lincoln scholar and has spent years researching every documented reference Lincoln made to God, the Bible, and Christian principles, the result of which is the book, of course, and it also includes Lincoln's letters and speeches and traces of the development of his faith and illustrates the depth of Lincoln's knowledge of Scripture. Very interesting book indeed. So, without further ado, let's begin with our first clip. This clip is Minister Ostergaard talks about his book on how faith shaped the American presidency of Abraham Lincoln. Here it goes.
Can you introduce yourself to the Blog Talk family?
Yes. I'm a boy person who was trained for the ministry, graduated from Fuller Seminary, but I decided that rather than work in a regular church, I would spend my life with boys and girls. And I've spent my whole life working with boys and girls and been very, very happy for it because that brings great results.
Now, how did your book, The Inspired Wisdom of Abraham Lincoln, come about?
Oh, I have been concerned because children do not, you see, we can't teach religion in school, but it is not fair that children should not know about how prayer and how Abraham Lincoln, by looking to God, he had a terrible problem. Our country was absolutely divided. The slaves were deeply entrenched in slavery, and Abraham Lincoln called upon God to help us. Our children need to know that. It is not fair to the youth of America that they do not know the facts about this. And that's why I wrote, because I wanted that to be known.
Wonderful. When did you become a fan of Abraham Lincoln? And when did you?
I began as a child to read of Abraham Lincoln and through life. But after I was married, when I was about 40 years old, I began a very intense study of Lincoln. And since then, I've read most days I read something on Lincoln.
Okay. Which book inspired you the most once you put the book down? Like, I have to write a book.
I mean, of my Lincoln books that I've read?
Right.
Of any book?
Specifically Lincoln, but you can answer in two parts.
Yes. Well, naturally, the Bible is the most inspiring book I ever saw. I've been a Bible student since I was about 8 years old. I began studying the Bible every day, and it's everything to me.
And which passage in the Bible reflects Lincoln the most?
Oh, affected Lincoln?
Reflects
Lincoln most. Well, he liked the Psalms. He liked the teachings of Jesus, and he liked the Proverbs. He liked the Book of Job, and he just loved Bible stories.
Okay. And as far as your Lincoln book, which book inspired you to write about Lincoln?
Yes. Well, I have a big selection of Lincoln books. The one that I like. I like this set by James Randall. He's my favorite biographer.
And do you remember a story you like to share with us that you like to tell people about?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
When Lincoln had been president a little while, You know, the hardest thing that any person has is we know sometimes God, it's wonderful when we know God answers prayer, but it's very hard when it feels like he does not even hear us. And Lincoln had a boy that's very sick. In fact, the boy died. And Abraham Lincoln prayed for that child, and he died anyway. The war was going terribly bad, and Lincoln could not stand that. He'd go to there were thousands of boys that died, and they're amputees, and this just made him sick. And he knew that if we lost the war, the slaves would never have a chance. And so he knew that it's right, and he felt that way in his heart, that it's right that we should win this war so we could set the slaves free. And one night in the White House, he just walked the floor through the night, and he just walked wringing his hands, why doesn't God answer my prayer? And then after he'd been thinking about this, he went into his own study, he sat down, took a piece of paper, and he wrote, for my eyes only. That is, no one else needs to see this. And then he said, I prayed that God would hear us, and God doesn't seem to hear. But I'm going to believe that God hears prayer, that God will have his way. It's us that do not understand God. It's not God that doesn't care. And he put that paper away. Nobody ever knew about it until after he died. His secretaries found it. But that changed his philosophy. And from then on, he believed that God is going to work out his will, and it did come out, and we were able to win the war. That's my favorite story.
Okay. Now.
Okay. That is my producer, Leslie Gist, interviewing Minister Ostergaard's very interesting points, particularly with Lincoln's faith and how the Bible and the scriptures guided his presidency to a degree, and it's always interesting to hear those kinds of ideas on Lincoln and his presidency, particularly with regard to the faith. And a lot of the times, the influence of black preachers, particularly Frederick Douglass and others, just black men, male preachers, and their influence on Lincoln, working with Lincoln to move him in the right direction. But this is not a debate, and Minister Ostergaard is not here to engage me, so I won't go into that. But it's always interesting to hear about Lincoln's faith, particularly how it informed his opinion of American slavery. The next clip is Minister Ostergaard is going to talk about the similarities between Lincoln's decision to side with border states versus free states during the Civil War and the biblical figure Jehoshaphat's alliance with evil King Ahab. And here's that clip.
The passage, the Bible story of Jehoshaphat. Do you see any similarities between Jehoshaphat and Lincoln when he...
Yes, I read that in your website. And I read the story of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a godly man. And for some crazy reason, he just simply went along with this unrighteous King Ahab. And in Lincoln's case, Lincoln, there were reasons, though, in your story that, and I don't like to get into this. We haven't got time to get into this. It'll do. I'll write a little an answer to that and exactly what happened there to you personally afterwards. It's quite a bit to get into here, and I don't want to take readers' time.
That's a fair answer, and we'll move on to another question.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the book. When did you write it, and how long did it take for you to research?
It took me, I began writing, like I say, collecting things that I could use in speeches to service clubs and one thing and another, and I didn't think about writing a book because, you see, I'm not a book writer. In school, I was just an ordinary kid, and my teachers in school said, no, that fellow will never write a book. But it was in my heart so much that the Lincoln story needs to be told that I kept thinking more and more of it, and I never really thought that I would write a book until several things happened in my life, and it just seemed like each thing pushed me towards it. And I had very much the help of my God in writing the book, but the things that worked out that I could never have done by myself. And finally I thought, well, maybe I'm going to try. And I tried, and I found a good person. But this all, the whole process took me 10 years to write.
Wow. I can relate to that.
You know,
now,
what?
You said
good.
Your audience, your book is really written for little children. What age group?
Oh, actually, my book is not written exactly for children. I write for scoutmasters and for school teachers and Sunday school teachers, and I've had a lot of children that like it. A junior high boy can. I've had junior high boys that say they really like it, but I want to have school teachers read it so that they can give the right emphasis on Lincoln to children at school. That's what I really aim to do, because I get in a little more technical material there, but there are things that children will like in my book.
Okay. That was a very interesting clip. One thing to note about Lincoln, he was born, unlike a typical or average opinion of Southern people in the early 19th century, Lincoln was far from being a backwoods buffoon that many Americans thought him. He was born in Kentucky in 1809, the son of a poor family. He was self-educated. He had been a laborer in his youth. He had been a laborer, a storekeeper, and a postmaster. He taught himself the law by reading law books, and he was admitted to the Illinois bar in 1836 and gradually built a small practice and a good reputation for himself in his home state. And in his next clip, the third clip, the minister talks about that, Lincoln's early life and his self-direction, his religious mother, the books he read, and even offers tips for children dealing with atheist sensibility, since it is known that Lincoln at some point was a non-believer. And, so we're going to go into that clip right now.
Okay. Give me an example of some of the things you think the children would like.
All right. Lincoln, in fact, I have a passage in my book of what Abraham Lincoln would teach boys and girls today. I gathered through the book the lessons that he would give. The first one is, he felt that every life, every person should read the Bible every day. He said, that'll make your life better. Now, my whole list, it's a little hard to go over right now. However, if anyone wants to mail me, put in my email, which is, of course, plostigard@sbcglobal.net, I'll mail you my brochure that explains what Lincoln would teach to boys and girls. And give a little more detail there. But he would begin by teaching them every day that they should read something out of the Bible. He had other wonderful things that he gave for boys and girls.
Okay. Now, when you did your research for 10 years, did you go mostly to libraries, or did you have a favorite place to research?
Yes, I did go to libraries. However, in my research, you see, there are 1,000 books written about Abraham Lincoln, and many people quote what they heard him say or something like that. I didn't want that. I began with everything that Abraham Lincoln said. I gathered only what Abraham Lincoln said. So every word in my book is a quote directly from Abraham Lincoln himself, not what somebody said he said, but what he himself said. And that, of course, is one reason I'm very proud of it. I feel I didn't want to make any mistakes in that. And so I bought a lot of books in order to make this, but I wanted to find books that Abraham Lincoln read. In my library, for instance, I wanted a speller that he learned when he used for spelling.
Where did you find that book? I have been looking for it myself.
Well, I have, it's not, of course, the book that he had, but it's the same copy. It's a reproduced copy of the speller that he had. And I did the same thing when he went to law school. Or rather, he studied the books of the law himself, and that he studied Blackburn. Well, I wanted a copy of Blackburn, so I bought a copy of that. And different things I wanted. He read books that got him in trouble. He read some atheists like Volney, and who didn't believe in God. And I bought a copy of Volney because that atheist got Lincoln in a lot of trouble. He began swallowing some of the atheist's teaching.
What?
again, that's Ostergaard talking about Lincoln's faith, particularly, and it's always been of great interest to me how religion tied into the whole African slave trade, particularly, and the role that the church played in that process. And to talk about Lincoln's faith is regarding slavery is always interesting. It is not news anymore that the church played a very pivotal role in the slave trade. One of the great humanitarians of the Catholic Church, a guy by the name of De La Casas, nicknamed the Apostle of the Indians, had written against American Indian enslavement. But his alternative solution to Spain's labor problems was the importation of African slaves to take the place of the Indians. So religion definitely played a big role in not just Lincoln's life, but the whole matter of slavery, particularly the beginnings of it. But in this next clip, the minister is going to discuss Lincoln's political role during his atheist life. And here's that clip right here.
Push, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that the church played a role in ending slavery as well, before we go on to clip number four, right?
Four.
He began swallowing some of the atheists' teaching.
What year did he get in trouble, and what year did he find
Yes, all
God?
Right. He was in the wilderness until he was 21 years of age. And then, of course, his mother had taught him to read the Bible, and he was well-versed in the Bible. But when he came out of the wilderness, all of a sudden this great, big civilization, there's so many things, and he found that they read a lot of things, and they taught a lot of things. And a lot of them, he met people that laughed at the Bible. And Lincoln, wait a minute, maybe my mother didn't know what she was doing. And so Abe Lincoln then, he read these other people, and he lost his faith in God. He didn't stop going to church. He stopped reading for about 15 years. From the time that he's about 21 till he's about 38, he didn't read the Bible anymore. And then about that time, he had a very wonderful experience. Believe me, life is a teacher. You can run across things in life that are hard for you. And he began to realize that some of those atheistic teachings were not good, and his mother's teaching were really better. And while he was thinking, going through these things, he discovered a book accidentally, and that book was by a man by the name of James Smith, which is easy to remember, a minister. And this minister explained how he had been an atheist, how he'd read L. Volney and these other men, and how he'd lost his faith. And then he'd come back by reading the Bible. Well, Abraham Lincoln began reading that man's book, and he came back, and he joined that man's, or didn't join the church, but he went to hear him preach, and Lincoln bought a pew in that church, and his children went there.
What was his line of business, or what was he doing at this
Well, he was a lawyer.
He was an
attorney. He was he went through the poor communities of Illinois, and on a what they call a circuit,
he was
riding a horse
official.
And buggy and going to all these communities.
He was not elected official at this time when he
No.
Had...
Well, yes. He was elected an official when he was 23 years of age.
And at that time he was an atheist?
Yes, even while he was in this atheist period, he was elected an official. Because that time they only went to the government for about 2 or 3 months, and they'd come home. And they'd have 9 months working in their field or whatever they're doing. And he was an elected official from 23 till he's about 31. And then when he's about 37, he was elected to Congress, went back to Congress.
He was still an atheist.
In Washington.
And was he still an atheist at that point when he was
Yes,
elected?
He was still an atheist.
Wow.
Well, atheist is too strong a term. He was an unbeliever, or he didn't know what he believed. He was confused
uh-huh.
in that period.
Okay.
He was confused. But when he came back and read this book, it straightened him out, and he went from there to become a man of very great faith, powerful faith.
Well, that's interesting. I personally did not know that Lincoln was an atheist. But as my producer noted, the church did play a role in ending slavery. But I think it's also important to note that when you think about those kind of matters, not just how slavery began or how it sustained itself and how it ended, context of Lincoln's decisions, the decisions he made to end slavery. There's an old saying that a professor of mine used to say, if you want to understand history, follow the money. Explains everything. And in that sense, you think more so about the economic expediency rather than the moral issue. But anyway, we're going to set up the next clip here, where the minister talks about the seven proclamations of prayer and the Thanksgiving proclamation. Here's that clip.
The Thanksgiving proclamation.
All right. While he was president, the war went very badly. He had a hard time. His generals and everything went wrong, and the Southern armies were very strong, and Abraham Lincoln appealed to the people to pray that God would help them. And he altogether sent seven proclamations of prayer. However, it is in 1863 that things were very bad, the first half. 1862, very bad. And then in July the 4th, happened to be on the 4th of July, we won a very great victory, and that was at Gettysburg. And we had the same day we won another great victory in the West over along the Mississippi River. And those two great victories, Abraham Lincoln immediately pronounced to the American people, thanksgiving to God. And then he wrote another one, this time to the people to acknowledge God and thank God for changing. And then, of course, he made the great Gettysburg Address. And after the Gettysburg Address, then he made the first time when he appealed to people on the last day of Thanksgiving, on the Thursday, last Thursday of November, to have a Thanksgiving, and that was in 1863. Well, in 1864, the situation was gradually better, but three different times he made proclamations to people to thank God. And then in thanking God, the last of those was on the last Thursday of November. And, of course, that's why we keep that last Thursday of November. But this actually was the seventh of his proclamations asking people to pray.
Now, how long had he had this reaffirmation from the time that he made this Thanksgiving proclamation?
He would give the people, at that time, he got through being an atheist. That problem was settled by the time he was about 48 years of age. See, he was an atheist.
10 years he had been.
Let's not use the term atheist. He was an unbeliever. He didn't know what he believed. From the age of about 22 to about 38, 39. And from the time he was, say, 42, then his faith began to grow very strong. And he became president when he was 51.
I just wanted to make sure we had a strong backdrop to
what
was going on in his life. Politically and as well as spiritually, and we can see some coincide that things started to go in the right direction.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that was a great, great clip there. The next clip, we're running on fumes here. The next clip is Lincoln's abolitionist anti-slavery view from a religious perspective, and let's listen to that clip. I think my producer is getting it ready. This is where Lincoln is more in tune
now,
with
what
his...
were the sentiments and reaction of the public and the religious community?
How people reacted to Lincoln. They loved, and the people loved that, and he appealed, and he gave very great credit. His statement that on 1,000 home firesides they're praying for this war to end. he believed very strongly in people, and they loved him for that. Of course, there were other people who kind of scoffed a little bit at his idea, but the main majority of people, a major majority of people, loved Lincoln.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you did discover a prayer.
Yeah.
In your research, and you said earlier that it was for your eyes only.
Yes, that's the prayer that meant the most to me.
And can we find that prayer if we went on Google?
Yes,
or
it's in my book there, of course. But if look any place else, look any other biography under Divine Meditation.
Oh, that's the name of it, Divine Meditation.
That's the name of you look in the bibliography or the index of any good biography of Lincoln on the Divine Meditation.
All right. And you said the letter or the book he read that he found by accident. What was the name of the book that he found by accident?
The name of the book was James Smith. Christian's Defense. The Christian's Defense by Dr. James Smith is a very wonderful thing because Dr. James Smith literally lived on his own street. And here's the man in all America. This is what was wonderful about it. God, the Bible teaches in Romans 8:28 that God works all things. Here's Lincoln. He was a doubter, and he didn't know what he believed. And here he accidentally discovered this book by a man living on his own street who had a church that Lincoln walked past every day when he walked to his law office. He walked past that man's church,
they took the same route.
That's a wonderful thing that he could find that out and discover that accidentally like that.
And
by the way, I found that book. There are only about 4 or 5, eight or 10 in existence, and I found one of those, and I have it in my library.
Oh, that's wonderful. It must be worth a fortune.
I sure happy for it.
Okay, well, we recapped what we talked about in this interview. It's a very educational interview. I want to thank you for coming.
Well, thank you, ma'am. And remember, any writer can write any question, or I'll send this about Lincoln, the things he would teach boys and girls.
Okay,
it's awfully nice. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie, for giving me a chance.
Well, don't hang up yet. Don't hang up because we have to let everyone know your full name and where they could purchase your book.
Okay. My full name is Philip Ostergaard with one L. And Ostergaard is Ostergaard. Or you can look on the website, philipostergaard.com. You can read about my book, about my life. The title of the book is Abraham Lincoln, the Inspired Wisdom of Abraham Lincoln. Only one more thing. There's one difference between Lincoln and all other politicians you ever heard of.
Okay.
Lincoln, time and time again, that I am going to have to make a report to my God for how I live. Everything I do, I have to make a report. That's a pretty strong statement. I wish our politicians today could feel they have to one day stand before God and make a report for everything they say and do. But Lincoln did that. But thank you for inviting me.
Okay, I think we're going to try.
Now, the abolitionists.
I think we're going to try and go back to the sixth clip, but I do want to note the compromise. Speaking of the whole economic thing, the compromise between the free and slave states, where California was admitted as a free state in exchange for fugitive slave law, which gave them the right to capture any black in both areas without warrant or due process. My producer wanted me to note that the original law was active in 1792, the origins of the warrants. But we're going to go back to clip 6, I believe, which is the clip of Lincoln's abolitionist and anti-slavery views from a religious perspective.
Abolitionist, did his faith correspond with his views on slavery?
Did his faith correspond with his views on slavery?
Yeah, the growth of his faith.
We do not know exactly what church he would join because he never joined a church. He might have after he finished.
Uh-huh.
But in a way, I'm glad of that because he belongs to all of us. And we all can feel that Lincoln would be comfortable with us. But he definitely believed the Bible taught against slavery. He did not believe that at all, that the Bible taught slavery. The Bible is against slavery, and he's very strong in that. The Bible teaches anything, it's against slavery. He believed that.
Okay. All right. Now, when we talk about Lincoln's proclamation, I had your friend on earlier, Tatiana. She had made a comment about George Washington's proclamation and Lincoln's. Can you add anything to that comparison between Lincoln and George Washington?
Oh, naturally, George Washington was a wonderful man and very, very thankful to God that we had a great man like that. And again, our children need to know what Washington really believed and what he gave our country. And Lincoln, of course, the situation was so bad when Lincoln became president. The country was divided, and there was absolutely no hope. No military man would think you'd have a chance to win the war. And Lincoln just stepped forward and said, God will help us win this war. Without God's help, we cannot do it. With his help, we will do it. And it's a very strong affirmation. Of course, George Washington was that same kind of a man like that, but different problems. But, no, I deeply admire both of them.
And Lincoln, when he was a young boy, we said you made it clear that he was involved in the church, where he was very religious. His mother was very religious.
Yes.
Were there any books that he read outside the Bible that showed his faith as a young person?
Well, I think he read Pilgrim's Progress, and he didn't have many books to read, but he did read Pilgrim's Progress, and of course he had a limited number of books that he read, but he read everything he could get his hands on.
Okay. Again, that was Minister Philip Ostergaard and my producer, Leslie, just interviewing him about his new book on Lincoln. And that book is available at his website, philipostergaard.com, philipostergaard.com. And it's also available on Amazon.com. The name of the book is called The Inspired Wisdom of Abraham Lincoln, How Faith Shaped an American President and Changed the Course of a Nation. Very, very interesting book. I do plan on getting it myself. Maybe I'll call him and he'll send it to me to review or something like that. I always love to get books that way. Again, thank you for tuning in today. I know you all are probably busy eating your turkey and stuff like that and just having a good time. And thank you for coming. And please come and join us again next week for another edition of Just a Freedom Show. I will see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
my kids play with toys. One warm December, our heart will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no war. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday all our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where men are free. Maybe not in time for you and me, but someday at Christmas time. Someday at Christmas we'll see a land with no hungry children, no empty hands. One happy moment.